I'd like to begin with a verse in Proverbs in chapter 25. And the second verse, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and is the glory of kings to search out that matter." As I've read that verse many times in my life, I've felt that there are things that are concealed in God's word. And that's part of God's glory, that he hides certain things. They're not on the surface. The things you get on the surface are truths, but the most valuable truths are concealed. It's like you get a lot of good things on the surface of the earth, like oranges and apples and a lot of fruit and vegetables, but the really valuable things like gold and silver, you got to go 10,000 feet under the ground to get it. So it's the same principle in Scripture. There are a lot of things you can get on the surface. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you can live with that verse and never get into the depths of God. And that's the condition of many, many believers. They move superficially. And even in asking God to show us sin in our life, we can be superficial and think of just a few external things and not allow the Holy Spirit to go deep. So remember that the most precious things in Scripture are deep down. And so when it says the glory of kings, we are the kings. We are kings and priests in Christ. And the glory of our glory is to search out what God has hidden. So we can say, why has God hidden it? Why didn't he put it all on the surface? Why didn't he make gold and silver on the surface? Well, maybe there's a parable that he wants us to go deep to find. And I believe that it's thereby that God finds out who are serious in their Christian life. There are many Christians who are superficial. They're happy with a superficial life. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and the King James Version is very good in this, the last part, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's like digging for the gold. And those who seek superficially, they get something, but not everything. So I want to ask you to consider how seriously you dig into the Word of God. My life has been tremendously blessed as I've gone deep into God's Word, sometimes looking up other verses connected with it very often, and or seeing what is the root meaning of a word, etc. And I thought of this verse in that connection, Psalm 42. A longing in our heart for more of God. Psalm 42 verse 1. As the deer pants. And that's a very strong word. Pants. Longs deeply for the water brooks when its mouth is dry and thirsty. So my soul pants for you, O God. My dear brothers and sisters, can you say that about yourself before God? As the deer pants. It's not just, oh, I'm a bit thirsty, I'd like to go and get some water. No, it's panting. That means heavy breathing. I want it, I want it, I can't find it. Those who seek for God like that and who seek into his word like that get into a relationship with God that makes them triumphant in every situation. And they'll find God going ahead of them and leading them such that they'll be free from anxiety. They'll never grumble or complain about anything because they know God's working everything for their good to make them like Christ. in our life, you know, Jesus said about the seed of the Word of God, the seed, the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. He explained this parable in Matthew 13 and verse 18. You know this, the parable of the seed. The seed which is sown on the ground and which springs up immediately. It says here in Matthew 13 and verse 20, the seed which is sown on the rocky places is a picture of a man who hears the word. Think of us sitting here hearing the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, that's a great verse. But it doesn't go deep. You hear something and it's come into your mind, but it has not gone further than the mind. And it, because it doesn't have firm root, what happens later on, he falls away into sin. We can hear some wonderful things here in the church, some of the most amazing truths that you probably will never hear anywhere else in any other church. But if it does not sink deep, it will only remain in our mind. And that's the reason why very often the life that's described in the New Testament does not become ours. Rivers of living water flowing out from us is God's will for every single one of us. That the Holy Spirit's power flows from within, blessing others. You know, like the Lord told Abraham, you'll be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Galatians 3:14 says that's for us. Which means I take it like this, that any family or person I come across fairly intimately must be blessed in some way, spiritually, just through contact with me. That's the promise of Abraham. Do you believe that in your place of work? I'm not saying they'll all get converted. Even Jesus did not convert all of Israel. But those who are called of God will be blessed. So this is something that we have to think of seriously. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And in this connection, I want to read another verse in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, in the Old Testament, there was no distinction between soul and spirit. The Bible says that man is a trinity like God's body, soul, and spirit. And most Christians do not know the difference between soul and spirit. There are many believers I know who say that man is only two parts, body and soul. If someone were to ask you, can you explain to me the difference between soul and spirit? Now, why is it important? Would you have an answer? Now, Hebrews 4, in verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the division of soul and spirit. That's deep in, dividing between soul and spirit. What is that division between soul and spirit? That the Word of God, if someone were to ask you to explain Hebrews 4:12 to him, well, if you've been a believer for 4 or 5 years, you should be able to explain that. I remember when I was in the Navy, and I was a young officer, and the captain on the deck of the ship, on the bridge of the ship, would ask me something. And if I said, I don't know, sir, he would say, never say, I don't know. Say, I will find out, sir. I don't know is the answer of a lazy man. I will find out, sir, is the answer of a person who wants to know. And that helped me. I heard that 60 years ago and I haven't forgotten it. And then when I go to scripture and I don't understand something, I mustn't say I don't know. It must be I'll find out. That's something I don't know, and yet it is God's word. I mean, if your son is studying mathematics and there's a problem, he doesn't know how to solve it, and he says, I don't know. What do you say to him? Oh, forget it. Let's move on to the next problem. No sensible father or mother would say that. But we do have that attitude when it comes to God's word. And if you teach your children that way, never mind, go on to the next problem. They'll fail in every single class. And that's why many Christians are failing in their life. Because they don't go into the depths of God's word. What does it mean to divide between soul and spirit? Soul and spirit are two completely different things. Like apples and oranges. But much more important than that difference. I've looked at it like this, the three concentric circles. Body, inside that the soul, inside that the spirit. And our soul is our mind and our feelings. And if the word of God here comes to our mind, we've got some information. And if you're a clever person, you can keep it in your memory and transmit it to others without it changing your life. It can affect your feelings. That's also part of your soul. You get excited about it. It still doesn't change your life. There are a lot of people who get excited in a meeting about something they hear. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But sin still has dominion over them. It hasn't entered the spirit. It's come as far as the mind or feeling. Mind and feeling, that's all part of the soul. But the door into the spirit is my will. That's the part of the soul, of our soul, which the word of God divides right up to there and says, let me enter your spirit. Now in the Old Testament, there was no understanding of this. It's only when the Holy Spirit came that we could get light on this. It's helped me tremendously. That my knowing God's word, the mind, my getting excited about God's word, the word of God is still in my soul. It has not penetrated my spirit. Well, then no wonder I don't grow. But if I hear something and it goes through my mind, stirs my feelings, I'm excited about it, and I exercise my will to deny myself in some situation in order to do that, then it enters my spirit. And I have to do that every day. Because when Jesus said you must take up your cross every day if you want to follow me, this is what he meant. This denial of myself is taking up the cross. Have you understood that? I remember I was in a gathering of a number of Christian leaders in India having a Bible study, and they said, we want to discuss what it means to take up the cross. And they broke up into little groups. I'll never forget this. And they came back after half an hour of discussion, and the conclusion was, we don't know what it means. This is the condition of most Christians. If someone were to ask you, what did Jesus mean when he said, take up your cross daily? Tell me in practical terms. Would you be able to explain to him? Because if it is something to do daily, you know, Jesus never said, read your Bible daily. How could people read a Bible daily when for 1400 years there was no printed Bible? It's very important to read the Bible daily. I do it. I've done it for more than 60 years. But that's more important than reading the Bible daily, is to take up the cross daily. That's the only thing that Jesus said do daily. And yet that's the one thing that most Christians know nothing about, because they have not gone into the depth to find out what it means. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's concealed. What does it mean to take up the cross? Concealed. It's the glory of a king to dig it out and say, Lord, I want to understand that, not to just explain to others, but to live it out in my life. And basically, this is it. That I come into a situation where I have to die to my will. The way I respond to someone who's upset with me or angry with me, or has done me harm, and my will says to hold a grudge, I say, no, I won't. I won't even hold it for a second. I'll forgive him immediately. I will not respond in anger to that person. So our response depends on whether we have taken up the cross and put the will to death. That is the seed going deep. Even in the matter of building a house, Jesus used the word deep. He said in Luke chapter 6, the wise man, Luke 6:46, dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Went beyond soul into spirit. The word of God must come into our minds, stir our emotions, and come down into our heart. And the only way to come down to our heart is in a situation where I'm faced with doing what I want to do, or denying myself. I deny myself and say, Lord, I want to please you here. May the Lord explain that to us more. Amen.